Now, Mortimer Smith, a big old hug. Hugging friends and family who don't live with us has been off the cards for over a year now. And it's one of the simple, easy pleasures that we may have taken for granted before lockdown. But what's happening in the brain and the body when we hug? And why do we like it? Why do we need it? Why do we miss it so much? Well, to tell us more, I'm joined now by Dr. Susanna Walker, a reader in behavioural neuroscience at Liverpool John Moores University. How are you, Susanna?
Hi there.
Good to talk to you. So what's going on when we hug somebody?
Well, the main thing to say is that we're wired for touch, and we're wired up. We've got special nerves for these social interactions that you're talking about, so hugs and caresses. So we've got a whole array of different nerve fibres in the skin, ones that tell us when we've hurt ourselves, they signal pain, mm-hmm. ones that tell us when we've got an itch, and ones that signal touch. And there are a specific subset of these touch-sensitive ones that are tuned to exactly the kind of touches that we experience when we're having social interactions, so a gentle moving caress. And so we think that these are the neurobiological basis of that rewarding aspect of social touch. And they're there because our very survival depends on these tactile interactions.
Because we're social animals.
Absolutely. Just like all mammals, we're social animals. And when we have a prolonged period of development, so infants are born helpless. So they have an innate drive to have to seek closeness, proximity to a caregiver.
Yeah.
And that's not just for food, for warmth. The social interaction, the touch is essential for growth and development. And so that's what we think that these nerves have evolved to signal.
So when they signal that, something happens in our brain then with hormones and the like?
Absolutely, yes. So if we're touching something with the palms of our hand, if we're picking up a drink or something, those signals go to a region of the brain that's specialised for touch signals.
Mm.
Whereas these touch nerves that I'm talking about, they project to areas of the brain that are specialised for signals from the body about emotions, so they're emotion centres. And the touch on the skin triggers a cascade of release of different chemicals, including one, oxytocin, which is really important for social behaviours. And oxytocin has lots of effects. It inhibits pain, it reduces stress. And we know that these tactile interactions, so this touching each other, it reduces our stress levels, reduces heart rates, reduces blood pressure. So that's the effects of the oxytocin being released.
Lovely stuff. The lovely stuff. I'm just reading here in an article there that so you and your colleagues have discovered that touching the back, low intensity skin stimulation of the back, which will be part of a hug, sends some of these signals to the brain.
Yes, so we're interested in where in the body these specialists sort of touch, social touch nerves are.
Yes.
And they don't seem to be in the palms of the hands, the soles of the feet. They're in what we call the hairy skin of the body. So although we as humans are not hairy, but it's a different kind of skin.
Speak for yourself.
We don't know exactly in humans, but certainly in animal models, they seem to be densest in the core areas, so on the back, for example, which would make sense if they have this social function.
Right. It's obviously it's contextual, because if somebody tries to give you a hug and you don't want it, the brain is going to go, red flag, go away.
100%, yes. So absolutely. So in terms of development and care, then, we have this innate signal that it's rewarding, that it's pleasurable. But of course, the context matters. So who is doing the touching? And so it won't have any of these beneficial effects if someone is touching you and that touch is unwanted. Absolutely.
When we could have guests in studio here, over the years, we've heard some heartbreaking stories from people that I would have only met, 20 minutes or half an hour previously. But the sort of natural reaction as a human being is to give that person a hug to comfort them at the end of the interview. It just seems right.
Absolutely, yes. And, and that that's what we do. And I think as humans, we do, obviously, we're very visual. We use speech a lot to communicate. So we do. But when things are emotional, when we're distressed, then we rely much more on these non-verbal signals like touch and a hug. And it's, you know, it's there because of these beneficial effects that we might not consciously know about, but we've learned through experience. Then, as you say, that's our you know, sort of instinctive response to yes. comfort someone with touch.
I see a recent survey found that hugs was fourth on a list of 30 things that people are most looking forward to after lockdown. And that was just behind visiting friends and relatives, who they probably would hug anyway, and eating out in a restaurant. So how can we make up for not getting the hugs from, you know, from people, relations, friends? Is there any way we can make up for it? Any substitutes?
Well, one of the interesting things that is that pet ownership has gone up hugely during lockdown. So that could be for a number of reasons, but we know that a lot of the benefits that we get from hugging another human being, we get from petting a dog or stroking a cat. So that might be part of it as well. So that's one potential. There's been an increase in the sale of what's called weighted blankets. So just woolen blankets, but with some weight in. So that's sort of like a blanket giving you a hug. And a lot of people have found those that they're a good way to sleep. They quite like them, so that's another alternative.
Yeah, and of course, you and your colleagues would study the evolutionary value of a hug. What would that be? Because go on.
Sorry, no, I mean it's about social bonding. We people that have strong social connections, strong social networks, that perceive themselves to be supported, they have better physical and mental health. As you said right at the start, we're social animals. Mm. And so it makes sense that we would be wired to find the being close to someone and these tactile interactions rewarding, because it has an overall benefit on our health.
Have you ever heard about the hugging saint? She was very popular in Ireland there for a while. She used to visit on a regular basis, and then thousands of people would queue up to be hugged by her. That's
wow.
Yeah. I think she's from India. She's from India. I interviewed her, I think, years and years ago. She was an elderly lady, and she just sat there and people came up and hugged her. And people got a lot from it. And she tours the world just hugging. What a job.
Wow.
Huh? What a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that is.
we'll have to get back onto her if she's still alive.
Absolutely. And, post-lockdown, definitely.
Post-lockdown, yes. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Susanna Walker, a reader in behavioural neuroscience at Liverpool John Moores University. Thanks for talking to us about hugging today. Virtual hug
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, see you, Susanna. Thank you. Bye. That's down there. Somebody's been great to hear Mickey Coleman sharing his story about his heart condition. Same happened to my husband regarding no symptoms. Just to clarify for your listeners, an echo does not necessarily show what you need to know pending a heart attack. It is the cardiac CT you need to check, calcification and blocked arteries. That's Nora. Well, we may get Mr. Bobbitt back on. He knows all of the details on that. We may speak to him again in the near future. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening. There you go.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.